You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
When it comes to telephone calls, nobody is listening to your telephone.
Trust him on that, if you want to. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You got 4 minutes after 6 o'clock. Well, how about this? The New York Times has finally acknowledged that the global warming trend of the 90s ended 15 years ago. That there has been no warming trend in the last 15 years. Now, they're a couple years late to the party. But now that the New York Times has finally said it, there's a whole hive of people, liberal left commentators, people in government, lots of college professors, activists and the like, who are now going to say, oh, well, now that the New York Times has said it, I guess I can believe it. I, of course, have been telling you that the global warming trend stopped a long time ago. Basically, what you had in the United States was a cooling trend in the until the mid-1970s, from the end of World War II. Then you had a warming trend starting in the late 70s, which went until the late 90s. And then you've had a leveling off. So what this means is at the very time when Al Gore was picking up an Oscar for that ludicrous slideshow of his, a Nobel Prize, a Peace Prize at that, for his slideshow presentation, when you had Time magazine putting the Iwo Jima memorial picture into putting a tree into the ground rather than the American flag. Remember that? When we heard that the debate on global warming has ended, all this stuff took place about 6 or 7 years after the global warming trend had stopped. Anyway, we'll talk more about this, and it's actually kind of an amusing piece. The Times just falling all about the place to try and come up for an explanation as to why the global warming trend stopped. Before we get there, though, NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, now on the lam. Last whereabouts, Hong Kong Hotel. Last hour, my guest Ralph Peters said that this guy is responsible for a major security breach, that he should be facing charges and severe punishment. Here's what Republican House Speaker John Boehner says.
He's a traitor. The president outlined last week that these are important national security programs to help keep Americans safe and give us tools to fight the terrorist threat that we face.
Now, so far, President Obama hasn't said how he regards Edward Snowden. Andrew Napolitano said he's a hero. You just heard John Boehner say he's a traitor. I asked you this question yesterday. Where would you come down on this? 206-421-5757 outside King County, 1-888-312-5757. Boehner says that he trusts this program. He says there is a difference between mining and surveilling a massive ocean of data for trends that look troublesome, which may lead to them trying to get a warrant. There's a difference between that and spying on people.
I've been briefed on all of these programs. There's no American who's going to be snooped on in any way unless they're in contact with some terrorist somewhere around the world.
Okay, so that gives you an idea where he is coming down on this. I'd like to know what you are thinking. Here's my take on this. I think that the American people deserve to know the extent to which their private information, what they think is their private information, would really be a more exact way of putting it, is open to government scrutiny and surveillance, and if so, how deeply. So I am glad this debate is happening. I do not think Edward Snowden is a hero. And I'll tell you why. I happen to believe in the nobility of civil disobedience, that if you believe so strongly in a cause, you're willing to pay the price associated with breaking the law. Let's give a perfect example. Rosa Parks. Now, what sets Rosa Parks, the woman who wouldn't give up her seat on the bus to a white passenger when ordered to by a bus driver, what makes her different from Edward Snowden? Well, I say two things. The first is, Rosa Parks and others had already been trying through legal channels to get Montgomery to allow black folks on the bus without having to give up their seats to a white passenger. The way the system worked is whites in the front, blacks at the back of the bus, and if the bus was crowded, the backs in the back of the bus had to give up their seats to white folks. That's how the bus system worked. They tried to get that changed. Nothing was working. So the Montgomery bus boycott was launched, and the flashpoint for that was the arrest of Rosa Parks. So that's the first thing. Did Edward Snowden try to legally get this program exposed? He did not. He did not. He did not go to the inspectors general. He did not go to Congress. He left the country and then leaked to Glenn Greenwald, who has always been kind of a bear cat on this issue. The second thing that puts him apart from Rosa Parks is Rosa Parks broke the law, and then when she was arrested, she walked to the police car, she put her hands behind her back, she was cuffed, and she went to the police station, and she served her penalty, or at least was willing to serve her penalty. In other words, she acknowledged that the price of civil disobedience was she would probably go to jail. She was willing to do that. Martin Luther King did that all the time. Wrote a historic manifesto called Letter from a Birmingham Jail. What did this guy do? Did he call a press conference and say, I want America to know about this? I'm going to stay here in my country and face the penalty? No. He left. He left for a country he thought he would be free from extradition. So for those two reasons, you cannot compare Edward Snowden to people who have embodied the principle of civil disobedience. But we have all these phone calls rolling in. So bottom line is, it's time to hear from you. 206-421-5757, outside King County, 1-888-312-5757. A listener off the air says, did the NSA data mining operation lead to any terrorist plots being stopped? According to Mike Rogers, Michigan congressman, yes. A plot to blow up the New York subway was foiled by an investigation that began when there was a troubling trend spotted in the NSA phone surveillance program. This is what he says. Do I trust Ed Rogers? I don't think he's saying something that he knows to be false. But it raises the question, doesn't it? Why on earth, with a program like this in full going at full tilt, couldn't we have stopped the Boston Marathon bombers? I mean, for crying out loud, if we had surveillance and we were looking at troubling patterns, look at some of the phone contacts they were making here in Chechnya. Hell, we even had the Russian government telling us, hey, you guys, get on. You need to look at this guy, this Tamerlan Tsarnaev. He's here fomenting trouble. He's going to go back to your country and make trouble. So how did we miss the Boston Marathon bombers when we have programs like this underway? Let's go to Dave in Stanwood. Go for it, Dave. Good to have you here on KVI. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, this is Doug.
No, I'm sorry. Your name is Dave. It says Dave on the. So you gave the wrong name to our screener. How you doing, oh. Doug? How you doing, Dave? Go ahead. You're on the air.
What is the question?
you're calling us because you've worked for Verizon
for
30 years.
I was an engineer for Verizon.
Okay, tell us why that matters. Tell us what you want people to know.
Well, relative to your conversation this morning, I got to kind of agree with the theory that they can't really listen to all these private phone calls.
Right.
What they're looking for is for patterns, like you mentioned earlier this morning. If you call from point A to point B, point A being somewhere in the States, maybe downtown Chicago, point B being somewhere in Kuwait, that's what they're looking for. And they have a way to track that via cell phones and landlines.
So let me ask you this, because I'm a Verizon customer.
Yes.
So my phone records have been surveilled. Does it bother me? It doesn't bother me a lot, but it bothers me a little. How about you?
I agree.
How about you?
I feel exactly the same way. But it doesn't bother me so much that they're going to be able to hear my, you know, every conversation. That would be impossible. You know, with as many government workers as they have, and with the ones they have, they can't get the job done right.
Okay.
So to listen into every conversation is pretty impossible. But I think the reason they picked on Verizon was because Verizon is king of the hill in the cell phone business. And it's a lot easier to pick information out as far as individual conversations via cell phone conversations than landlines, simply because cell phones, the modern fancy ones today, are two-way radio and television transceivers. And there's always some guy out there that's, you know, can build a better mousetrap in the form of a listening receiver. And if he's got the right frequency of a particular cell phone, he can listen to a conversation, yeah.
Well, here's my take on this. Don't the terrorists pretty much know that established land and cell phone lines might be surveilled by the government, so they're more likely to use these, you know, these knockoff, buy one of these temporary phones with a prepaid plan and use that instead?
Yes, but that cell phone, no matter what kind of a phone, cell phone it is, it's got to transmit and receive frequency. Now, that frequency may be 6 or 8 places past the decimal point because, I mean, we're talking about gigabits of information.
Okay.
You've only got so much bandwidth, and as more and more cell phones are sold, you have to divide that bandwidth down. So now you're getting into a frequency ID that's might be, 25 dot, and then 6
okay.
places past the decimal point in gigahertz.
All right, so your take as a 30-year veteran of Verizon on this program?
My take?
Yes, sir.
Is?
Do we keep doing it, or do we stop it?
Boy, that's a tough question. With what they're trying to do to protect us, I would say, yeah, but I'm with you. I think it should be brought out. I think we should know to the extent of exactly how much of our conversations they're listening in on.
All right. Very good. Now, they're not listening in on conversations, Doug. I do want to amplify that point because I think a lot of people assumed that if they were covering your phone, they were keeping track of phone numbers you call. They're keeping track of how long the calls lasted. And they're keeping track, of course, of where you're calling. But if they wanted to say, John Carlson made a phone call on May 31st. And he made this call to the following number. And I want to follow up on that, because that number has been known to be used by a terror network operating out of a South King County mosque. They would need to get a warrant to follow up on that, and a second warrant to listen into that phone call. So there are some safeguards built in that aren't getting quite as much attention. So anyway, every line lit. We will get right back to your phone calls. I do want to take a moment to congratulate and thank one of our sponsors, West Hill Design Build, West Hill Construction. They have won a plethora of awards for the quality of their work. West Hill, if you need anything done at your home, whether it is a room remodel, whether it is a new deck, whether it is a new house from the ground up, this is a family-owned company that's been at it for decades. They have a stellar reputation, AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. I have hired these guys over the years, numerous times, for projects inside and outside my home, and I can tell you this. Number one, they are not the cheapest. Number two, they deliver great value. And quite frankly, when it's my home, what my first priority is value. I'm not looking for cheap. I'm looking for durable. I'm looking for dependable. I'm looking for something that stands the test of time. Give West Hill a call at 425-483-0999. That is 425-483-0999 or online at westhillinc.com. That's westhillinc.com.
YKVI, perspective, passion, principles, where you get your news and views matters. Thanks for choosing America's original conservative talk station. Talk Radio 570, KVI. KVI. It's okay to be right. No, really. Talk Radio 570, KVI.
John Carlson having a great old time here at 624 because I am surrounded by the most intelligent listening audience in North America. And many of you on hold waiting to talk, like Don from Issaquah. Don, nice to have you here with me this morning on KVI.
Hey, John, great topics. I'll go through them real quick. The global warming, I've been joking with people for quite a while when I say, you paid how much for your four-year college education and you don't know that the globe has been cooling, and you don't know that consensus has nothing to do with science, and try to shame them a little bit.
By the way, Don is referring to this New York Times piece I mentioned where finally, the New York Times acknowledges in print that the global warming trend that began in the late 70s actually leveled off in the late 90s. So for 15 years, global warming, there's been a lull in global warming, and yet we keep hearing overheated rhetoric, not a overheated planet, but overheated rhetoric about it because it's now a politically driven debate. Go ahead, Don.
Snowden, I've got to fall on his side. People seem to forget real quick. You look at Betrayed Us. Now I'm a conservative, 50-something. You look what power of emails or phone calls or whatever, look what that did to a good man. He betrayed us. You look at just recently people going to court and saying, hey, this guy is a co-conspirator or whatever the wording was in order to spy on that Fox News guy. So this stuff is real, and they will abuse it. Abuse the power, especially with this kind of administration. So they would have squashed this guy if he had went and tried to bring this stuff out. So in another time, maybe there would have been reporters that would have went out here and fought for the truth. But today, Snowden would have been crushed. So I've got to fall on his side.
Okay, yeah, I think a lot of people are saying, I don't know about Snowden. I just know that the result of what he did is good for the country, that we flesh this out and talk about this. I find it very interesting that Jim Sensenbrenner, who's the author of the Patriot Act, under which all this is taking place, says, hey, wait a minute. We did not. Maybe this might be technically legal, but it is not what Congress intended.
Right. Well, with this power in the wrong hands, you can't say that what Snowden did was wrong. So I don't know how people make that distinction when this administration and possibly others could just take the power and use it against people to change and affect legislation and all kinds of things by manipulating people's opinions.
Don, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Gary in Seattle, hear what he has to say. Gary, you're on with John Carlson.
Hey, John, I'm not sure how I fall on the Snowden portion of this, but what I wanted to interject is that we cannot forget what candidate Obama said about this type of process and practice. He was vociferously against it, and he was calling Bush and them names very badly about what's going on right now, and he has expanded it beyond what Bush did.
By the way, you're absolutely right. He has expanded beyond what George W. Bush had started, and I will also point out we ran a Obama versus Obama debate on this whole issue of government surveillance and government oversight. And so maybe we'll play it again because we had a lot of fun.
I missed that. When did you do that?
We played it yesterday, I think, at 7:30, and I think we played it again at 8:30. Maybe we'll play it again at like 7:05. It's worth hearing because it's so funny that you have this crisp, articulate, a little bit self-righteous senator talking about, the first thing I'll do when I'm president is I will ask the attorney general to review all these executive orders, and I will strike down all those that I believe are unconstitutional. And then he's explaining the program, and gone is the clear, crisp eloquence. And he's,
I'd love to hear that at 7:05. Okay. The thing I want to also put in this is that this is not an isolated situation. You could do that so many times over so many topics on this guy. Two things, he was not ready to be president. And the point I want to bring out there is that America has to wake up that the background of the people we're going to put in as president counts.
Okay.
I
tell you what, Gary, I really want to sneak in one more call if I can. We only have about 30 seconds.
No problem.
Give me a chance. Later. Thanks very much, Gary. Jack, we only got 30 seconds, but I'll give them to you.
Sure. Hey, thanks, John. Great show. Hey, the most troubling thing to me about the whole Snowden case, it's not Snowden, but it's all these congressional reps, and especially people who I would consider conservatives and constitutionalists who are affirming this, what I think is a clearly unconstitutional violation of our freedom and privacy rights. And when I hear Ralph Peterson and Slade Gorton, their rationalization seems to be these people on the NSA won't do anything bad with the information.
All right.
Well, let's take a look at what happened.
It's all the time we got, buddy.
The biggest names are on KVI. John Carlson.
This cries out for open ridicule.
Laura Ingraham.
We have doggy hotels and spas, and we throw babies in jars. Sick.
Glenn Beck.
Get the hell off my land. Get your hands off my child.
Mark Levin.